So I have a new microphone, which you might be able to see and also hear, teething it in today. So we'll see how we go. Let me just lower this down here a little bit. Right. So we'll be coming afterwards to celebrate around the Lord's table, which we did also during our Good Friday service, gathering outdoors on 2 days ago, which was really lovely, with the other churches in the area. And yes, today we are looking at Romans chapter 6, as we've been doing. So if you've got your Bibles or your, what were they called? Devices? No, there was another word. Apparatus. Please pull out your apparati. Is that the plural? And you can turn to Romans chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 15 shortly. So we've been going through this series in Romans, and next week we'll be back in Galatians, and we're having a guest speaker next week who's coming all the way from Namibia. His name's Lazarus, and he works with Pioneers, the mission organization, and he'll be continuing on through Galatians, which would be really lovely. He didn't come out specifically just to preach here. He's got other things, and Stephen knew he was in the area and said, oh, maybe we could ask him to come. So, that's next week. But for this week, we're continuing on in Romans 6, and we'll be going from 15 through to the end of the chapter, and this passage does not mention at all the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But without the resurrection of Christ, we would not be able to walk in the reality that this passage gives us. And I remember a few years back preaching, I think it was on a Easter Sunday or Good Friday, and I just remember, you know, we did the refrain together, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. And then, sorry, that's probably my bad. There you go. Give that a try. Thanks, Sean. I remember saying, Christ is risen, and then the refrain, he is risen indeed. And then I asked the question, so what? So what? What difference does that make to your life that Christ is risen? And we're going to press into some of that today. So in Romans 6, in the earlier verses, we've been reading about, last week we were just looking, that's amazing, it was only a week ago. It says, if we've been united with him in a death like his, this is verse 5, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. There is a certainty in that. And that resurrection, the fact that Christ was raised, means that we also have been raised. And there is a so what for us today in that. Let me read then from verse 15 of Romans 6. And we'll go through to the end of the chapter. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. These big shin words, as Colin Buchanan calls them, sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you've been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Great. Again with Paul, you got to slow and read it. What's he saying here? Well, he starts off this section with the way that he started off in chapter 6, verse 1. He's with that question, what should we say then? What's the response? And it's the same type of question in 6:1. He says, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? That's, should we keep on sinning so that the grace and the goodness of God is revealed by how he's just covering our sin and making up his absorbing the wrath, the anger, shows his goodness? He's like, by no means. And it's the same kind of question, but a bit different. The question is, are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? So he's just said before in verse 15, get this, sin will have no dominion over you. Sin will have no dominion over you. Why? Because you are not under law but under grace. And Paul, immediately after that, he's curving off that reaction like, whoa, no law, great, I can do what I want. Not under the law. Free. Don't sin. Even though you are not under the law, you are under a new law. It is the law of grace that you are under. By no means should you sin because you are not under the law. And then he unpacks this with this image of slavery, which we're going to take time to press into. And he simply says here, don't you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. And I've really enjoy just going through this and reflecting on the theme of slavery in our lives. And it's not something that we think about very often in our modern day. You know, the word slavery comes up, you think about slaves in Jesus' day, you think about William Wilberforce perhaps, who, under the blessing of the Lord, brought the abolished the slave trade, which is a wonderful thing. But it seems very foreign to us, slavery. Yet Paul is giving this really stark warning here. Don't you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you know what you're going to be? A slave. So can I be your slave? Yes, you may. Come and be my slave. I would love to have a servant. And he says there are two types of masters. This is in verse 16. One is sin. You'll be a slave of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Very stark difference, these two things that we're a slave in. And I think, often when we think about slave to sin, we think about, a drug addict, completely addicted to drugs, of which, very sadly, there are many in this city who that is their daily reality. They're addicted to drugs. You might have friends, you might have family members who are in that place. Alcohol, people, I often, when I'm going past Dan Murphy, see people with a trolley load going out. I just am grieved to see that. Just absolutely enslaved to that alcohol. It might have started as a fun, enjoyable time with mates. However it did, I don't know. Or could have been just, yeah. I remember, I was reflecting even during the lockdowns, the things that the government restricted and didn't allow restriction to, you notice that they always opened as soon as they could to give people access to alcohol. That speaks a lot, doesn't it? There's a lot of slavery in this city with things like that. You think about people enslaved, these are the people that come to mind. It could be, other things like an addiction to pornography. It could be other things like, for my kids, the terrible people are the robbers. These are like the lowest of the low, the robbers. There are people who are addicted to crime. They're in and out of prison. This is their lifestyle. This is a sad, terrible thing. I think often when we think about slavery, it's not an active thing that we've done. We don't think of ourselves as offering ourselves, put the handcuffs on me, I'll be a slave to you. We don't actively do that, do we? The person who's ended up addicted to that alcohol or drugs or whatever it might be, they haven't actively done that. But there is a slavery that is evident in our society. And if you look carefully, we need to be on guard against it in our own lives. The natural tendency of our hearts, I think, is to mute, to dull down our sin, the areas that we are enslaved to. Could be YouTube, could be Netflix, could be shopping, I don't know. But often we're looking at that person who's drug addicted or alcohol addicted and saying, I'm not like them. But there are things that we're enslaved to that through the resurrection of Christ, we are able to overcome and walk in freedom from those things. I've been reading through the Psalms, and something stuck out to me in Psalm 36 that I just think illustrates this point. It just like hit me when I read it. And I want to read it now. This is such a dangerous place. This is Psalm 36, verse 1 and 2. It says this. Transgression, that's the wrongdoing, speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. Let me just read that last part again. The wicked person flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity, that's his wrongdoing, it cannot be found out and hated. That is a terrible place to be. And how easily we stray into that place and we gather the people around us who, you know, are also doing a like-minded thing, flattering ourselves and not drawing in. Because actually, the anger and the wrath of God is a hard thing to bear. Praise the Lord that Christ has done it, that we don't have to. But that place of guilt and shame, condemnation for our sin, man, if you really sit in that, that's going to take you down. So flattery perhaps is a way of handling that. Dulling it down, pushing it to the side, sweeping it under your bed, however you get, whatever image you would like to use. But Paul says there's no room here. It is either a slave of sin or a slave of righteousness. And there are many ways that we can be a slave to sin. Just consider this, the opinion of others in your life. How much are you enslaved to that? Or how much are you walking in freedom from the opinion of others? Think about your mother or your father and their disapproval of you. Perhaps you've wanted to get something, to buy something, and you thought, oh, I can already hear my dad's voice. I'm just not going to get that. It's going to be easier not to. Or, you know, I don't want that disapproval. I don't want the, oh, you've done that again, Oliver, or whatever that voice is like in your head. There is a fear of what they might say. It could be your in-laws. How many people walk on eggshells with their in-laws? There can be such fear in our lives simply over the opinion of others and how we become shackled to that. You can't notice that when someone's walking along. You could be sitting down to next to a colleague of yours or a classmate, and they could be completely bound and shackled by the opinions of others, and you could barely even tell. Isn't that amazing? Absolute slavery right next to you. Or it could be in your own life, and you've so flattered yourself you can't even see it. How enslaved are we and we don't even realize? Praise be to God that he sent Jesus that we can be free of it. So the opinion of others, their disapproval, what about the things that they're approving of? The people you want to be accepted by, the people you want to be significant in their eyes, your friends, and thinking, oh man, if only, you know, I was, you know, a bit more on the inner, or they appreciated me more, or they respected me, or whatever it might be. Again, shackled. And there is just a complete lack of freedom for you to make the choices that are right, that are good, that are going to be wholesome, that are going to lead you in a path of life. What about your own desires and the slavery there? If someone hurts you, However it might be, they've slandered you, they've gossiped about you, maybe they've done something that's really pained you. And there's a sense of anger, of bitterness. Does that consume your life? And you are completely shackled to that desire of some form of vengeance, of waiting for that person to stumble and trip and then going, ha 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 ha, rocking your head back. Of course you wouldn't do it out loud. Can you see that? So often, even the desires of our own heart, we are completely enslaved to, and we're not even aware. We are driven, we are at the mercy of it. It could be a desire for something. You could want something. You could be seeking after obtaining, I don't know, a particular car, a particular job. But what is driving you? What is motivating you to want those things? And will you stop at nothing to get that, no matter what the cost, relationally, financially, in all sorts of ways? How quickly will you offer up your relationship with the Lord on the altar to get that? Sounds foolish when you speak it out like that, right, in the church. But how quickly we are living like that, and we don't even realize. All kinds of ways in which we can be enslaved to sin. Jesus spoke to a group of people about this. This is in John 8, 31 and 34. 31, sorry, 2:34. I'll read these verses to you. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, these are the people who believe in Jesus, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free?" Listen to Jesus' response. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin." That's pretty all encompassing. There is an absolute slavery there that exists. And notice again how these Jewish people, right, they're ruled by Rome. They have Rome completely over them at this time, and yet they're denying, "We have never been slaves to anyone." Such a proud people. Are we like that? In free Australia, we've barely even had any army come to fight us on our own soil. Been probably once that I'm aware of in our history. We're such a free nation, and yet we're deceived by the slavery that we walk in and day out, more shackled than people who are actually in shackles. I remember reading a book about an Iranian man who ended up in prison in Iran. And he went on this journey basically because he would not submit and agree with the tyranny of the government in his day after revolution. He was a revolutionist and was keen for this revolution to happen, and the revolution then started to take this direction that he wasn't really keen. So he stayed his path, and all the other people around him started to bend and go in the direction because of the pressure that was on to do that. And he stayed his course. He wasn't a believer at this point in time. He came to faith later. And he ended up, because he stayed his path, he became a poor man. He became a lonely man, and he was imprisoned. And I remember as I was reading his biography, I was reading it, and then I was realizing, wow, he is in one of the most dangerous places, potentially on death row, and he did get on death row, but the Lord saved him from it. In prison, one of the most restricted places. Every aspect of his life is completely controlled, yet he was walking, probably in that nation, in the greatest freedom among the people there. Such an irony. Do not be deceived, brothers and sisters, into your own sense of slavery. Do not flatter yourself in your own eyes and think just by coming here, by being here, that you are free. No, it is only through Christ that we walk in that freedom. And praise be to God, we get to draw near to that today. To seek after that. May the Lord liberate us. All right. I'm going to need an instrument to do this next part. So I'm going to get my guitar. Just give me a sec here. And I want to illustrate to you a bit about freedom. I'll see how this goes over the new microphone. Sorry, Jethro and Sean. I think we're all good. Yep, there we go. All right. So let's say I was going to play you a song. And this guitar, it represents my life. And when I do something, it's like me living my life out. So let's say I wanted to play you a song, and the song went like this. Good? You were really surprised. Yeah? Yeah. Got one thing. Look at that. Eternal optimist over here. Thank you, Colleen. Have you heard people's lives who sound like that? You're just like, oh, please stop. Stop your life. Do you realize what you're doing? It just sounds so horrible. It looks so horrible. It feels so destructive. It's so counterproductive. I want you to imagine this string here. It represents the places where I draw my perspective of life from. And this string represents me as a believer. And it's a bit loose, which means it's flat. Musically flat. Loose. So as a believer, I might say, yeah, I believe the Bible. It's a good book. But you know, there are other places where I want to draw my perspective from or other things. Then let's say I was reading the Bible or someone was preaching or I was listening to a sermon and this passage came out that says this. This is from 1 Peter 1:24-25. All flesh is like grass. And all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And as I realize that, I think, yeah, I need to align the string of my life to what God says. And so I tune it. Many of you are not musicians and you can hear that that sounds good. Moving in the right direction. Yeah, all over there. The musicians among us will be a bit more like, oh, he's slightly out there, but you'll have to bear with my rustiness. All right. Let's say this string here. It's a little tight, a little sharp musically. And that could represent how I look at my finances, how I deal with money. And I come along this passage of scripture. No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And in my heart, I choose to heed that. I may have heard that word many times. Oh, we've got to go the right way. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's it. All right, let's say the next string, where are we up to? Is my sense of self-worth. How much I value myself. Let's say this is a little loose. I don't value myself so much in my own sight. I'm really seeking that approval of others and I'm in slavery to that. Yet I see in the scripture and God reveals it to me that God has shown his love for me that while I was still a sinner, that is, absolutely worthless is in his sight. He sent his son to die for me. I'm like, wow, I want to align my life to that. It's a bit more with the kids and a bit more noise I've got to compete with here. Yeah. All right. It could be knowledge. Next one. And I have an overemphasis on knowledge in my life.
I'm just giving you examples. And the knowledge I accumulate, and I think, oh, this is so good. Look at what I can do with all this knowledge, how I can help people and whatnot. But then I realize the truth that even though all of us possess knowledge, it is knowledge that can puff me up, but is love that builds me up. So I tune that. Another way. And then lastly, maybe my outward appearance. How I look and the value that I place on that. And I might not think of myself very highly, but then I see that, wow, God is looking at the inner appearance. Man looks at the outer appearance. That's where I want to get my value from. Oh, I've just tuned those the wrong way around. So, to end the illustration, that's right. Let's see how my life is sounding.
What love is this I see? You gave your life for me. You shed blood to set me free. Thank you for your blood. Oh, thank you for your blood. How great this sacrifice, that your death to me means life. Oh, from darkness into light. Oh, thank you for your blood. Oh, thank you for your blood. Now I am truly free. Your love amazes me. Oh, I see your hands, your feet, the price you paid for me. Oh, King of Calvary. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood.
That's the end of the instruction. You weren't expecting that? Neither was I until I started to prepare. All that to say, I just used 5 strings there. What did I name them? Our perspective, our finances, our sense of self-worth, our knowledge, our outward appearance, 5 things. And I just tuned them out a semitone, probably, a tone. Slightly out by like 1 or 2 notes, each of them sounded deplorable. You should have seen some of the looks on the faces. It was amazing. And yet we live like this. What is going on? And how much more so when we are to be slaves of righteousness and delight in that? How much we are happy with the flattery of our lives. How much we are happy to just continue on, to sit next to someone who's completely shackled Not even lifting a finger. We are slaves to righteousness. Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. You see, for what the world says of freedom is this: freedom is doing whatever I want to do. You do that, you can tune the strings of your guitar however you want of your life. And you play, you go and live and you play. Paul puts it in these words: when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You had no obligation to live a righteous life. You could do whatever you want. There's no standard. Go for it. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The answer is death. The wages of sin is death. That's its earnings. It is a dead life, a fruitless life, a void life. But it's in saying, Lord, teach me how to tune this string. I want it to be yours. That is how we walk in this reality. And that's what's as simple as Paul saying. You are no longer slaves to sin. Don't offer yourselves in that direction. You are free. Offer yourselves as a slave to righteousness. You know, being a slave to righteousness doesn't sound like the nicest thing. It has the word slave in it. But you've got two choices. It's either to sin or to righteousness. You'll end up in one or the other. And I tell you what, slavery of obedience of God's standards is a much better master than to sin. How we all know that. You know, when we think about righteousness, we can be put off as well. We can think, oh, you know, that means being holier than thou, or, you know, even that means having to let go of things that I really want and I value, also known as sin. But there's a gratification in it. If it wasn't there, you wouldn't be doing it. You wouldn't be wallowing in that sin. If drugs didn't feel good, people wouldn't take them. If alcohol didn't do something, it wouldn't be sold. Like, who would buy it? But it does something, but we become shackled to it. And God saw that from the very beginning, and he intended to set his son to die and to rise again, that we could walk in a freedom only through his name. If people do not have faith in Christ, this freedom cannot be theirs. It is through Jesus and looking at his death, the truth of that, the resurrection, the reality of that, and saying, yes, in this place, I can truly be free. It's a walk of faith. It was, I don't know, many years ago, I came to this point of wrestling with this. And I think for me, for many years, I was just so wanting to do partially God's way, but yet partially my way as well. I'm like, yeah, you know, there's some good merit in what God's saying. This is a believer, right? I'm on this journey and wrestling. And I remember, you know, just the Lord, through the work of his Spirit, helping me to see more and more, wow, only God's way is ever going to produce the best thing in my life. And I remember starting to realize this, and I was like, I didn't want to believe it. Why? Because there was a flesh in me, a part of me called the flesh that is not of the Spirit of God, but is of me, Oliver, and it wanted to continue on to do the things that I wanted. And I saw this increasing truth in my life that I could decreasingly deny. As this truth got bigger and bigger, the denial of it got harder and harder. And I started to realize I can't deny that whatever God says is going to be the best thing to do. As much as I want to be free and my own master, yet I know that that will end up me being a slave. And I didn't want to, in my heart, if I'm honest, I didn't want to be a slave to righteousness to Christ fully, partially. I'll put one arm in, but keep the other out so I can do stuff over here. But the Lord, in his mercy, brought me to this place where I realized, you know what? I've just got to surrender. I've got to go all in. And I remember praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want for the rest of my life to do only what you want, only ever your will. May you make this happen in my life. And I was scared praying that. I'm like, that is surrendering complete control. Like, I might not ever to be able to make a decision again, freely. I won't be. That is surrendering complete control and just saying, all right, you just live exactly through me how you want to. And I remember praying like that and thinking, wow, that was transformative, I suppose. But there was this real confusion in me that after, I don't know, maybe a week or so, realizing that sin was still present in my life. I thought, what? Isn't that the ultimate prayer that my Father in heaven would love to answer? Like, whatever you want, Lord, anything that is your will, you just, like, I will do it. I want to shackle myself to that for the rest of my life, never returning, never coming back from that place. And I realized that my Father loves me. And he doesn't want to reduce me to a robot, but for me to choose that in an ongoing fashion. So as long as that remains my heart's desire, my prayer, I walk in that. When I've come out of that place, the Lord's wanting me to come back in, but that's when I become vulnerable to allowing sin to be a slave to sin, even though I'm set free from it. I'm no longer bound. And then through that, I've been like, oh Lord, that is the prayer to live and to pray every moment of every day of my life and to choose that with a whole heart. You know what? That work is still happening in my life today. That I can be a slave of righteousness, completely bonded. Glory to God. We're now going to celebrate this together through the Lord's table. Through the death and the resurrection of Christ, represented in the body and blood. So I'm just going to give us a few moments. I might just ask Ben if you could just play in the background for us. It's a good thing your guitar's in tune. That's why I had to use mine. Just like us to take a few moments just to sit with this reality of slavery and slavery in our lives, whatever that may be looking like, the extent of slavery to sin and the extent of slavery to righteousness. And just to bring ourselves before the Lord and to ask Him to speak into that place, the things that He is wanting to speak, to touch the places that He is wanting to touch. And perhaps there's particular strings that the Holy Spirit wants you to just tune. And I would urge you, through my own experience, through what I've read in the scripture, through what I've seen in people's lives, is just submit to what the Lord is wanting to do in your life. I would urge you to do that. You could delight in the freedom that we have in Christ through His death and resurrection. Take some time to meditate on that, and then I'll bring us together shortly. now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is Christ whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. I'm going to invite the people up who are going to serve the communion. And when you feel ready, come forward to take. Bring your heart before the Lord. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 11, seek to come in a manner worthy of Christ. That's not on your own worthiness, but on what He has done. Knowing that any guilt, any sense of shame, sin, condemnation is removed through Jesus Christ and coming in that faith. Yeah, come forward when you feel ready, and you can take the wafer and then hold the cup, and we'll take that together at the end. Let's stand together. And we often declare, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, when we take this. And we're saying there, Lord, You are my Master. It's another word for Lord. I'm shackled. You are my Savior. You have saved me from what I was shackled to. So let's declare that together. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I believe the band will take us into a final song.